is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back. I'm so glad to visit with you again. It's a true honor and joy. Yes, we're going to talk today about how to encourage ourselves in a time of great loss, great challenge, exhaustion. And I know that we face these. Young mothers face this, single mothers for sure, and increasingly educators. We've got a great passage of scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 30. 1 Samuel chapter 30. The story is of David. David knew he was supposed to be king, but Saul was still king, and so he was on the run. And he had plenty of people who were following him. Well, he had some mighty men, and Saul was after him. And he had been out fighting, visiting with some other folks, and he came back home to find a disaster. He, his family, and the families of the men who were with him, who made up his band, they had left their families at a place called Ziklag. That's where they had houses and their kids and all of that. And so that's where we are. He's coming back. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, and let's see the awful disaster that happened to him and see how he got out of it. And we'll apply this, and I'll tell you how. Not just platitudes, but real help. Okay, here's the story. Then it happened when David and his men came to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had made a raid on Negev. Now we're talking the southern part of what's now Israel. And on Ziklag, and had overthrown Ziklag and burned it with fire. And they took captive the women and all who were in it, both the small and great, without killing anyone, and carried them off and went their way. So basically, they razed the city, burned everything, and took all the people and the flocks and everything. And verse 3, and when David and his men came to the city, behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had been taken captive. Then David and the people who were with him lift their voice and wept until there was no strength in them. The Amalekites had been bitter enemies and would be, shows up again all the way down history into story of Esther. But here they had the men, the fighting men were all gone, and they just wiped this city off the face of the earth, took all the kids. David and his men had been out fighting. They were sent home. Here they are, burned. All their family gone. All their flocks gone. And they wept until they could weep no more. You know, even mighty men, when you're exhausted and you faced, it's challenging. Verse 5, now David's two wives had been taken captive, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the widow of Nabal the Carmelite. Moreover, David was greatly distressed because the people spoke of stoning him. So he's a leader, and this happened. If we hadn't been out with you, this wouldn't have happened. You know, leadership is sometimes lonely, and this time it could be dangerous. For all the people were embittered, each one because of his sons and his daughters. Isn't that like people? You're challenged. And anger somehow is easier than fear. We need to remember to look for the cause, deal with the cause. But David strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. In the King James, it says, David encouraged himself. And how? In the Lord. Personal name. The Lord, his God. His God. Woo! I like that. But David strengthened or encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. Then David said to Abiathar the priest, the son of Ahimelech, please bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought the ephod to David. Why is that? Because he's seeking an oracle of God. He wants to hear from God. Okay, now what do I do? Good move. And verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord and said, shall I pursue this band? Shall I overtake them? And he said to him,
pursue, for you shall surely overtake them, and you shall surely rescue all. Pursue, overtake, recover all, is what it says in the King James. Glory to God. You see, we could sit down and have a pity party, or we could inquire of God. God will give us great instructions and great promises. Usually we have to act on them. So verse 9. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and came to the brook Besor, where those left behind remained. So I guess that some of them were too tired from their march, not strong enough, too young, whatever. And so they remained at the brook. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 who were too exhausted to cross the brook Besor remained behind. Okay, so now notice that David went on a word from God. He didn't know, like we know, that anyone was still alive. Nor did he know who had done this. Maybe he knew who had done it, but how would he know even where they are? But God said, pursue, and you will be successful. So he pursued. Hallelujah. You seeing some patterns here? Challenge. And that's the way Satan seems to attack when you're busy doing something else. And anger and mess up. But if you seek God, encourage yourself, and then you hear from God. Encourage yourself, then you can seek God, hear from God. Then you can go off and pursue, and what happened? Now they found an Egyptian in a field and brought him to David and gave him bread, and he ate, and they provided him water to drink. And they gave him a piece of fig cake and two clusters of raisins, and he ate, and then his spirit revived, for he had not eaten bread or drunk water for 3 days and three nights. So this guy was nearly dead. They found this Egyptian slave left for dead in the field, and they brought him to David. And so they feed him, give him water, tend to him, and he's revived. And verse 13, and David said to him, to whom do you belong? And where are you from? And he said, I'm a young man of Egypt, a servant of an Amalekite. And my master left me behind when I fell sick 3 days ago. We made a raid on the Negev of the Cherethites, and on that which belongs to Judah, and on the Negev of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire. All right, so he just told him who did it, what they were up to. And then David said to him, will you bring me down to this band? And he said, swear to me by God that you will not kill me or deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this band. So now David has the blueprint of where these guys are, and probably more besides. Hallelujah. So this is the pattern. Sometimes we're in a waiting period, a time of difficulties. David was. He knew he should be king, and everybody was after him. The Philistines had reason not to trust him. The king, who should have trusted him, was out after him, King Saul, and he was off with his mighty men and Amalekites, the long, bitter enemies of the Israelites and Judah, came and razed the city along with some other warfare and took off everybody. And there David arrives, burned, devastation, nothing. And not only that, those people who were supposed to be for him and help him, they blamed him. It was a good time to commit suicide, to give up, go away. But no, he encouraged himself. He strengthened himself in the Lord, his God. Hallelujah. And then he heard from God. And God said, pursue, overtake, recover all. This is the word of God for you today. If you will be strong and of a good courage, you will be prosperous and make your way successfully for you and for your children. And so David went. So you have to be a doer of the word. You have to put the word in your mouth, be a doer, go out, and God will show you where to go as you go. God will give blueprints. Hallelujah. So keep listening. Hallelujah. Listen before you go, as to where you go, why you're going. Okay. Now, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? I think this is the crucial point. How do you encourage yourself in the Lord? And we were given a clue in the scripture we heard about last time in Joshua 1. You know, the directions of God are promises of God, too. And the promises of God are directions of God, aren't they? Because if God tells you to do something, that means you must be able to do it. Glory to God. So, God tells Joshua how to be strong and of a good courage. He says, the book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Now, this is a very important part. You need to know what the promises are. That's why you cleave to, press into you, to study. You find out about the Word of God, and you won't mature spiritually. And I would say in today's world, in any other way, if you don't study the Word, find out what it really says, because there are so many competing ideas of how to live life, of what is moral, what is mature. So, and even we're discovering that really only the Christians who listen to sermons are able to follow lectures these days. Oh, Faye. So this is very important. We study the Bible. We find out what the promises are, but that's not enough. We need to put them in our mouth. And when we speak them, something really quite wonderful happens when we speak them. Even psychological science says this. Now, not all psychology is that great a science, but I think it's firmly established now. And I was trying to find the quote from William James, who's one of the founders of psychology. But Martin Seligman was quoting him. Martin Seligman is someone who actually does some scientific study about children and how to teach them and how to raise them and so forth. And quotes William James as saying, we often think that our words follow our feelings. And that's usually how it works. But if we put certain words on our mouth, then we can change our feelings. And same with actions. If we do something, we often begin to think along those lines. And this is the principle that is being discovered in psychology, is the principle that God was teaching. You put the promises of God in your mouth. You put them in your mouth. So you say, pursue, overtake, I will recover all. So you're running through the wilderness. I think it's pretty much desert in the Negev. So you're running across the desert in the hot sun going, all right, am I going in the right direction? Pursue, overtake, recover all. I got to go fast if I'm going to overtake. And then if you're out there in the desert, in the field, you find the Egyptian who can give you a clue to where you're going. Well, but if you stay by the brook Bezor, you never find the Egyptian. Or if you stay crying back in the ashes, that's all you have. And sometimes bad things happen in our life. Do you notice? Doesn't say that God caused that and you just need to endure. Now, some people come up with stories because that assuages their mental stress. But this is not what happened. An enemy burned the city and took off the women and kids. So what do you do? Well, okay, I understand you're human and you cry. But finally, David got himself together, inquired of the Lord, and the Lord gave direction, promise, pursue, overtake, recover all. And he went out, and he sure did. Hallelujah. He did. And nothing was missing. Verse 18, so David recovered all that the Amalekites had taken and rescued his two wives, but nothing of theirs was missing, whether small or great, sons or daughters, spoil or anything that they had taken for themselves. David brought it all back. So David had captured all the sheep and the cattle which the people drove ahead of the other livestock, and they said, this is David's spoils. And when David came to the 200 men who were exhausted, too exhausted to follow David, they had also been left at the brook. He went out to meet David, and David gave them a portion. This was an institute in all of Israel forever. So this was a day that was always remembered. And of course, David did become king, and a very rich king, and the story goes on from there. But it might not have if he had sat down in the ashes. And there are religious stories that encourage you to do that, just to endure,
or to even accept that this was the hand of God. Nowhere does it say that God judged Ziklag. It said the Amalekites came and burned it. They were nice. And so in your life, when you have a disaster, why do you think that's God and not the enemy? Your decisions, someone else's decisions. You know, I think that humans are in charge. What happens here? But God has advice for you. God has promises for you that he'll always be with you. God works with you when you preach the word of God. Hallelujah. And God wants total well-being for you and for your children. Hallelujah. As it says, have I not commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. And if you will observe to do all that's written in this book of the law, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So the Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord is with you. The Lord has given you direction. The Lord has given you promise. You will have a tendency to forget that. You will have time when things look pretty challenging. You will have times when you're exhausted. What to do? Put the word of God in your mouth. Put it in your ears. And go do it. Pursue. Overtake. Recover all. Recover all. Recover all. Some people teach resignation. Nowhere is that taught in the Bible. That is a well-ensconced, well-embraced value of a different religion. And they teach resignation. They say you're born into your station of life and that the best response is resignation. And you can check out historically how well that country has done on that principle. Whereas, if you have the principle ensconced in the center of your religion that God wishes you to be free, God works with you if you work honorably according to God's laws, integrity, truthfulness, kindness, charity, that God will give you a harvest for that. And check out how well societies that have worked according to those principles prospered when they did that. Comparative sociology. Not something we practice in the United States. However, there is my Indian colleagues would be familiar with the idea of comparative sociology. They practice comparative anthropology. And so I have suggested that to the surprise of some of my colleagues, comparative sociology. Well, you don't have to be a professional to do that. Just look around and look at cause and effect. Cause and effect. And I think you will see that if you face your challenge with faith, first off, with optimism based on faith in God's promises, if you diligently follow after good principles, and you keep on, keep on, keeping on, partner with others that do, you will be successful, prosperous, joyful. Hallelujah. Does it make sense? Yes. But there is more to it than that. There is miracle. You know, the world could figure out what comes around goes around. What goes around comes around, right? They can figure that out. But you know, the Lord has promised a great harvest and God gives the increase. It's not so crazy that you can't understand it, but it's glorious beyond comprehension. Hallelujah. I encourage you to encourage yourself in the Lord. And when your child has a problem, don't be resigned. When your family is decimated, devastated, don't resign yourself to it. If your home is wiped out, if all you're looking at is ashes, I understand you feel bad.
but encourage yourself in the Lord, who is your God.
Hallelujah.
Inquire of God. Find the promises of God. Speak the word of God. Encourage yourself. Glory to God. By putting it in your mouth. And that could be your prayer time. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And go on with that. And praise you, Lord. Talk about how good God is. Then make your requests known. Hallelujah. Pray for others. Pray for the authorities. Pray for other people. And then speak the confessions for you. That God wants you to be prosperous. That God has given you an everlasting covenant of shalom. That God promises all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord. And great shall be their shalom. Hallelujah. And then thank the Lord. And then go and do. Encourage yourself in the Lord, your God, choir of God, and then pursue, overtake, and recover all. Glory to God. Dear Lord, thank you for your great and many precious promises. Thank you for this teaching. Thank you that we may encourage ourselves in the Lord. Thank you that we know that we can uproot mountains by speaking to them because of the authority that we have been given in Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for coming. Thank you for dying. Thank you for being raised. Thank you for teaching us. Thank you that you never leave us. And now we pray healing on these listeners and on their children. We pray academic success, success in all that they set their hands to. And glory to God. And we praise you for it. We thank you for it. Glory to you. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us because of your name, your reputation, your nature, that you are a good God. Hallelujah.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released. No longer are God's people walking in defeat. We're rejoicing in the Lord for the victory.
I would like to sow into your life a CD of spiritual warfare, prayer, and praise. You're going to hear me pray in this scripture, encouraging myself, and telling the devil where to go. If you would like that on a CD, just write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Once again, P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Do not forget to give me your land address. And I will send this CD to you free and postpaid. I sow into your life. Hallelujah. And I'm believing that you will sow into this ministry. I told you last time we are believing for funds to refurbish. Particularly the look of the website, look of everything, but particularly the website, we'll call it Project Refurbish, and we are standing in faith for at least $7,000. So if you can be part of that, please feel free to. Once again, the address is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. We'll give that to you again before we leave today.
God wants you healed. We know this for many reasons. Read why in Sister Sharon's new book, God Wants You Healed. Turn away doubts and receive healing. It is not God's plan for any child to have pain or deficiency. Stop believing stories and get one step closer to God and healing by understanding God wants you healed. Send $15 to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630.
If you want to make educational decisions with an experienced home educator, have an overall orientation to help choose educational strategies, peace of mind from proven techniques, you want to leverage the resources of family and congregation and find faith to achieve academic success with your children, then you need the book Learn at Home for Great Shalom. You can get it at www.greatshalom.org. My new study guide, How to Contend for Your Children, is now available. It is suitable for personal study, or it's a turnkey guide for a group Bible study. Learn how to pray for your children,
make a supportive prayer group, and learn what the Bible has to say about how to contend in prayer for your child. You may get this book by going on to my website, www.greatshalom.org, clicking through, and you will have it sent to you, or you may download it for a discount. How to Contend for Your Child Study Guide, now available at www.greatshalom.org. That's www, great like big, and shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M.
Oh, death has been defeated and life has been released.
Please do come to the website at www.greatshalom.org and find all the resources that we have for you there. You may subscribe to podcasting. You may buy some books. And you can even interact with us there at www.greatshalom.org. That's www, great like big, G-R-E-A-T, and shalom is S-H-A-L-O-M. Of course, you may correspond with us through regular mail. You can write me at P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. That's P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. And please do hear from the Lord, inquire of the Lord what you can do in terms of partnering with us. We're going forth, sallying forth, and we're bringing back the word for you, dividing the land, distributing your inheritance to you, and we would appreciate you partnering with us in provision. Hallelujah. So again, the address is P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. The Lord bless you. And this is Sharon Sorrells proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.